My name is Gavin Gee.
I'm Joseph A. Smith, Jr.
Hi, I'm Buzz Gorman.
My name is Bill Matthews.
My name's Tom Gronstahl.
My name's Darren Domang.
Neil Milner.
John Ryan.
My name's Steve Antonakis.
And this is an oral history of the start of the Nationwide Multi-State Licensing System, better known as NMLS. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Matt Longacre. I'm Director of Communications here at CSBS. In the first episode of this series, we took a look at the risky behavior going on in the mortgage industry in the early 2000s. And in the second episode, we talked about the genesis of what would be known as NMLS and the concerns that were brought by state regulators about building out this new system. Today, we plan to discuss all the work that went into building the system itself and the opposition faced along the way. For that, we're going to turn back to my discussion with Gavin Gee.
You get to a point where the states agree in December 2003 to pursue the build of this system. And you can't just go and start building technology. There's all sorts of things you have to align ahead of time. State regulations, requirements, lots and lots of details. And so for the next 2.5-3 years, help me understand some of the work that went into just preparing to build the licensing system.
When I became chairman and we started this whole effort, we went to weekly board meetings. And my wife fondly reminds me that every Friday morning we had a board meeting, whether we were on vacation or whether I had the day off. And some of those were multi-hour board meetings, you know, discussing all of the pros and cons of NMLS and the opposition that we were receiving. So we had a lot of opposition, and we had to convince, you know, our members, the industry, consumer groups, industry groups, that, you know, Congress, others, that, you know, this was a good idea.
So the board starts meeting weekly. Did you have any other groups that were working as well?
We formed two task forces, a mortgage legislative task force and a mortgage regulatory task force, with, you know, specific goals and assignments to address all the issues that we've been talking about. We also formed a industry task force or an industry group to get input and meet regularly with leaders in industry about what we were wanting to do, what our goals were, what we were planning to do, how we were planning to do it.
So Darren, I know that your team helped with the harmonization effort. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the very first step was to look at what the states had as far as applications and what they required. And that was very telling, because everybody had something different. So the first step was to compile all this criteria and then come up with a model form. And so they try to, you know, look at what the most demanding agencies were and what the least demanding were. We did look at all of them, but we had a committee and they worked at it, and then they came up with these model forms. And those were on paper at first, and some of the states started adopting those. And that was the precursor to the MU forms that are in the NMLS right now.
So that must have taken a good portion of work to get all the states aligned under some common standards.
Matt, I'm sure you could find, you know, some documentation of this, kind of when this happened, but we ended up having like monthly meetings and in-person meetings to develop the uniform applications that became the foundation for NMLS. And that was a full year of pretty much monthly and sometimes even more frequent meetings.
Okay, so far we have weekly meetings of the board in 2004 and 2005. We have monthly meetings of the regulatory task force and the legislative task force. This is going to take a lot of regulators' time and probably a good amount of money. So where did all that come from? Steve, I know your team in Massachusetts did a lot. Can you talk to that?
It was. And sure, there were resources that we committed directly to it.
to the extent we're, it was permissible for us to do so. We also, you know, in some cases in which if there were, you know, actions taken against companies, part of the settlement was an effort to fund the system as well. Certainly, I guess cajoled would be a nice way of saying it, a number of my colleagues across other states in an effort to try to encourage them to, you know, invest their fair share, given the benefit that we thought all the states would gain, you know, through the functioning of the NMLS. Friday was my calling day. That was the day I would call. I had a call sheet for a number of commissioners I spoke to on a frequent basis.
Okay, so weekly phone calls to state regulators, weekly meetings with state regulators working on uniform standards, weekly meetings and monthly meetings of the board. This is just regulators. Certainly there was some concern in the industry.
As a part of the process leading up to this, we did have a group of industry participants that we consulted with as we were moving through this.
I mean, I think they knew they had to be in the room. I do think there was a difference within the various aspects of the non-bank mortgage lending community and with the banks. I mean, I think there was the successful mortgage bankers who were people of some means who had their own capital deployed in making loans, I think were concerned about the reputation of the industry and were concerned and thought regulation would be a good thing. They participated, though. They came to my recollection is they came to the table. And by and large, we had what I thought were productive exchanges with them. And it ultimately, and I don't know if you ever got buy-in exactly, we reduced some of the opposition, let's put it that way. But by and large, there was discussion in good faith. They participated in good faith.
We were willing to meet with them. We were willing to talk to them. We had people attending their meetings and speaking to them about NMLS and what our plans were. And I think we went overboard, and CSBS went overboard, and bringing on Bill Matthews was a huge positive, both for the regulators and for industry, because he is such a dynamic leader and, you know, was put in charge of that and met with the industry, met politicians, legislators, members of Congress, you know, anybody who wanted to know what we were doing, Bill and others would meet with and tell them exactly what we were doing, and was really honest and upfront with what our challenges were and what our opportunities were.
That's perfect timing for us to do our final introduction and bring in our last guest. Bill Matthews, can you introduce yourself?
My name is Bill Matthews, and I am Executive Vice President at CSBS, and I'm also the President and CEO of CSBS's wholly owned subsidiary, State Regulatory Registry.
And how did you end up steering the ship to develop NMLS in 2005?
While I was at MARI at a former job, I met John Ryan and Roger Stromberg and a couple of other folks at CSBS. And we talked about exchanging information with CSBS. We had a database of public sanctions, and so we worked out a deal with the state agencies where they could get full access to this data when they were doing their licensing. So we collected all the public enforcement actions from state regulators in the mortgage, securities, real estate, appraisal industries. And then we put that in a database, and people would search it similar to a report, only on somebody's professionalism. And it was primarily used in the mortgage industry, and there was a lot of fraud going on at that time. And at that, they also, a lot of the users of the database said, you know, this public data is good, but it doesn't help us with current problems. In other words, it takes a couple years to go through the administrative process. And so they said, can you create a non-public database where we contribute to it? And the industry at the time was sharing a blacklist or whatever you want to call it. And they just do it in a envelope, and they'd send it with no address, return address, and they'd send it around, and it, which was really a dangerous way to do it from a liability standpoint. So we created a non-public database of alleged fraud or material misrepresentation that if you didn't make the loan or wouldn't have made the loan based on that, then that's what you would contribute it. And so, that was with a company called MARI or Mary.
So you understood what it was going to take to build a better database for regulators. And who was CSBS talking to help with that?
When I came on board in September, we were just in the process of entering into an arrangement with the National Association of Securities Dealers, NASD, now FINRA, the securities self-regulatory organization. So in later in September 2005, we entered into a letter agreement for, I think it was 90 days extended to 120 days to look at the feasibility of developing a licensing system for the mortgage industry. NASD at that time had a similar system for the securities industry called CRD or Central Registration Depository, and also one for the investment advisor industry. So they were well versed in doing this.
Okay, so to recap and tie this all together, the board gives partial support to explore building this system in the end of 2003. You spend 2 years raising money with weekly phone calls to state commissioners, weekly meetings to create a uniform application for mortgages, weekly board meetings to keep track of what's going on, monthly industry meetings. You've hired Bill to help run the business side of things. You've got a time-bound tentative agreement with FINRA, the vendor, to help with the technology. But now you still need approval to build the darn thing. So tell me all about that board meeting in 2006.
The concern was, before we built it, the concern was funding, state adoption, and system fees. Those were the three biggest concerns. And granted, they were big concerns. The one pivotal moment in my mind was a speech that Tom Gronstahl gave at the 2006 board meeting. And he started out talking about the concerns of moving forward. You know, there are serious concerns about how this system is going to be funded. It's expensive. You know, where's that money going to come from? How many states are going to adopt this, to actually adopt the system? What fees are we going to charge? And is the fees going to cover the cost of running the system? And I got to tell you, when he was like doing the buildup, I was like, oh boy, this is not good.
Okay, well, wait a minute, Tom. I thought that you were on board with all of this.
There was a long discussion, a morning discussion, probably an hour and maybe more than an hour of people expressing their views of whether or not we could really make this go. And finally, I just said, look, we can make this work. All we really have to do is use it. If we use it, the fees will make it work financially, and it's going to work for all of us. So all we really need to do is decide to use it.
And then he said, all three of these things are within our control. We really have nothing to worry about. And I was like, oh. Oh, he's right about that. If this board, and the board's like 25 different states at the time, we have a big board, almost half the states. If the board adopts this, then yeah, we're going to make it. It's going to take some doing, but all three of those issues are within our control. And so if we're on board, and if we vote for it, and if we can get, you know, people on the concept, then we can't fail.
So I'm looking at my timeline where towards the end of 2006, there was one other galvanizing piece to this, right? The very worries you had that caused you to start building this system started becoming more systemic and larger.
You know, so don't let a good crisis go to waste, right? You know, I think a lot of people were behind it. I think as we got further and further along, more states were coming along. But I do think the financial crisis was a galvanizing event. And, you know, state oversight of non-bank companies was not a given in a new world in which there was going to be new financial legislation, which ultimately turned out to be Dodd-Frank, you know, several years later. And I think folks just really got behind that this was a system that would really fundamentally improve state oversight of non-bank entities, as it turned out later, you know, could be leveraged beyond the mortgage industry, and really would result in, you know, a sharing of resources that would improve the manner in which, you know, these companies were supervised on a go-forward basis. And I just think it just became more clear over time, you know, as this went from a brash idea to reality, that it just made sense to get behind it.
All right. I think that's a really good stopping point for today. So next episode, we're going to talk about the financial crisis, hearings in Congress, and how NMLS adoption became the first and only law passed in all 50 states in a single legislative year. Stay tuned. Simply Stated is a podcast produced by the Conference of State Bank Supervisors. I'm Matt Longacre, Director of Communications at CSBS. This podcast on the history of the NMLS is a special series. Thank you to everyone who volunteered to be interviewed, the team at CSBS who handled recording logistics from afar, and the entire communications staff for their contributions to this great series. Thanks again for listening.